Please, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. This evening, what I would like to do is examine the concept of godly mothers. I promised you this morning that I would have a Mother's Day lesson, and that was obviously not this morning, because mothers are not the bad things that happen to us. In most of our cases, they're one of the best, if not the best, things that can happen to us in our lives. And the question I really want to pose this evening is this: what makes a worthy woman? When we look at biblical principles, what really makes a worthy woman? Of course, if we were to ask this question to our culture, we would perhaps get various responses to this. Perhaps we would be told a woman is worthy if she's independent. Perhaps it's found in great beauty. Perhaps it's found in being a good career woman. Perhaps it's in wealth. Perhaps in status. From a biblical perspective, though, what really makes a worthy woman? I firmly believe biblical principles teach that there are certain feminine qualities that are bestowed upon women that make them worthy. This is not a sermon this evening about men. Men, there's much we can learn from this, especially those of us who are husbands. We can seek to understand how to help our wives and our daughters grow in the image of God. But really, what makes a woman worthy? What we're going to do this evening is we're going to go into Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 is the feminine chapter of the Bible. And this evening, what we're going to do is we are going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're going to make one exception, but it's a really justified exception. But other than that, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. And what I would like to do is go through this text, analyze it, and really seek to find three principles, three general themes that really demonstrate worthiness within a woman. So let's go ahead and read this text together. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to pick up in verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. As you read through this, I wish we all knew Hebrew. This is actually an acrostic poem in Hebrew, meaning that what the proverb author did was he took a letter, each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and wrote a poem in that acrostic format. So obviously our English translations lose that neat theme that is there, but at least we can see many of the similar themes and godly principles through it. So let's read it together. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamps does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also when he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. When we go through this, there's various principles that really show the worthiness of a woman. But the first is this: she does her family good. As you go throughout the text, there are various verses. These are the main ones that really show the worth of a woman is found in her family, both in her husband, but also in her children. Let's look at these verses in more depth. We look at Proverbs 31, verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 12, she does her husband good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 28, her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. While perhaps our culture teaches young women that a family is a detriment to your career, from a biblical perspective, the true worth of a woman is really found in her role as a wife and as a mother. We look, for example, at the necessity of a godly wife. We see in verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. This is a reciprocal relationship. This is a relationship where the husband loves the wife and the husband loves the wife and the wife then respects the husband. This is not one spouse cutting down the other. This is not one spouse trying to compete with the other. This is two godly individuals working together doing God's will. And as you go throughout the book of Proverbs, Proverbs has a lot to say about marriage. I want to look at just a few. Let's go back to chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Some of these are going to be quite humorous, as this is the Proverbs nature. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Now, this proverb was written mainly to a young man, and it's a warning to him: when you choose your wife, you need to beware of the gravity of this decision. If you choose well, she will be your crown. She will be the one who will crown you. But she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. As you go back and you look at Proverbs chapter 31, it tells us in verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of his life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31, which one is she in? Obviously the first. She is the excellent wife who is the crown of her husband. This is the woman who she holds her husband up. She esteems her husband. She builds him up. She supports him and lifts him up. She does not cut him down, never in the presence of others, but in the quietness of their own home, will instruct him and teach him and encourage him and build him up. That's a worthy woman. This last year, Dr. Gary Ransdell, who's the president of WKU, where I did my master's and grew up, he announced that he was leaving Western. And there was a special magazine I read over the weekend that had essentially 20 years of his presidency. And there was a whole 4 pages of the magazine just dedicated to his wife, Julie Ransdell, who I really didn't know much about. But there was one story that as they were at a party, she ran into, this is while he was president, they ran into one of her old boyfriends from Western. Dr. Ransdell went up to his wife and said, "Do you know that's one of your old boyfriends? Imagine if you'd married him." "Yes, and if I'd married him, he would be president of Western right now." That's a worthy woman. A worthy woman is the one who she is going to build her husband up. She, in her strength, in her meekness, and in her nature, is going to be his crown. I have God thankfulness to God, found my Proverbs 31 woman, who has never, ever, ever in the presence of others cut me down, although I'm sure I've given her reason to. But she builds me up and supports me. Whenever I told her 4 years ago, "Jessica, I think I want to go to school for 4 more years. Behind her eyes, she was thinking, "Oh my, this is the decision that I'm going to have to live with, and means I'm going to have to work, and it means I'm going to be stressed, it means I'm going to have to do it." She said, "Ryan, if this is your dream and this is what's best for our family, do it and I'll never complain." And while there was many days she wanted to complain about how much I had to work, she didn't. She supported me. She was the crown. That is what a worthy woman does. And brethren, how many times have we seen the second part of verse 4? She who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Men who are just cut down by their wives, who are ridiculed by their wives, who the greatest distress they face in their life is the trouble of the tongue of their wife. Let's look at a couple other Proverbs. Go with me over to chapter 19. Let's look at chapter 19, verse 13. Chapter 19, 13, the second part of the verse. A wife's quarreling is like a continual dripping of rain. Chapter 21, verse 19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. The proverb writer gives his son instruction. Do not marry a quarrelsome, argumentative, ridiculing woman. But how many households do we know of where on a daily basis, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Brethren, that is not a godly home. That is not a godly home where the temperament of the home is contingent upon the mood of the mother. A godly home is where no matter how tough times get, the mother is going to be there to build up her husband, to encourage her children, not take them down. How many homes does mama have to rule the roost and mama's way has to be the one to get across or ain't nobody happy? Brethren, that is not scriptural. A worthy woman builds her home up. She encourages it. She builds it up. That's what a worthy woman does. But also she finds her role in being a mother. We go back to Proverbs chapter 31. We look down to verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. What then happens? As the mother builds up and trains her children, as she helps, submits to, and loves her husband, they will then in return honor her and build her up. This is a godly home where the wife supports the husband, where she trains the children. And then in the process, because of the fruit of her labor, they return and build her up and encourage her and honor her. That's a worthy woman. And again, how many households where we've seen where there is constant strife between the children and the mother? Where the children are constantly feuding with the mother, where there is no respect, there is no love, there's no submission. A worthy woman is going to be the crown of her husband and the greatest teacher to her children. That's a worthy woman. Many of you know Sister Bobby Adams, Connie's wife. Bobby was teaching a young lady's teenage class probably 10, 15 years ago. And she went around the room and asked the young ladies, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" She got many of the standard answers: nurse, teacher, veterinarian. After she got around the room of 10 plus girls, she asked, "How many of you want to be a mother? How many of you want to be a wife?" Here was a room of teenage girls raised in Christian households. For not a one of them, their greatest desire was to be a wife and a mother. Rather, their aspirations and their dreams lay in some secular realm. There's nothing better in this world that you can do than to grow up and be a godly wife and a godly mother. Many of you women understand that the financial stresses of this life have required you to work. And they have required you to put in 40 hours at a job and 80 hours as a wife and 100 hours as a mother and then 2 hours a week to sleep. But still, even when the financial stresses of this life require it, you still put in the necessary time to be a wife and all of the necessary time to be a mother. Women, never let your family suffer. Never let your family suffer. Be a godly wife above all else. Be a loving mother above all else. Do not let the greatest efforts of your life go to your job. Let the greatest efforts of your life go to your family. My wife, she won't tell you this, when we were at Florida College, her GPA was higher than mine. And if she wanted to, she could have a really successful career. She actually has talked at times about going back and getting a career as a financial advisor. Her ability with numbers and finances is far above mine. I can barely balance a checkbook. She's wonderful. And while she could probably do that and make six figures, you know in 2 years what she wants to be doing? She wants to be at home supporting me and raising our children. And that means more to me than any gift of this life that she could give me. Because she has sacrificed her career. She has sacrificed a lot of money. And she has sacrificed status of this life to be a wife and to be a mother and to raise a family in the Lord. But that's a worthy woman. When we look at the second principle then, it's not only just being family, but because of her devotion to her family, she's going to work. Because she understands she needs to be the one managing the house. She needs to be the one really training the children along with the husband. Husbands, let me just make this quick side note. This sermon is not an excuse for us to sit on the recliner and scratch ourselves watching television. And I'm dead serious. This sermon is an admonition to mothers, but this is not an excuse for us husbands to be lazy. Our wives and the mothers of this church put their lives into their families. We need to be their shoulder to cry on. We need to be the one who leads them. We need to be the one who loves them. And we need to be the one who supports them. It's not a one-way street. That's something I think our culture got wrong for a long, long time. It's not just mama keeping the home fires burning while dad's away making money. That is not a scriptural principle. The principle is the husband and wife raise their family together for God. That is a true biblical home. But likewise, as I said, a woman is going to be one who's not idle. Again, let's look at all the verses. There are a lot, most of the verses in Proverbs 31 deal with the work ethic of a woman. Let's go through these. We're going to begin in verse 13. Again, all of these relate to the work ethic of a woman. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. And she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and she makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Down to verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A worthy woman is one who works. It is one who is diligent in labor. One who can outwork anyone of this earth. That's a worthy woman. One who puts her life into her family. One who works himself to the bone, all seeking to provide and manage and support her household. As you go throughout the Proverbs, there are many Proverbs that deal with diligent labor. Let's look at just one. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. This is a similar analogy used here. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread. But he who follows worthless pursuit lacks sense. Do you notice the contrast in this verse? You have in the first part the worker who works his land. What does it yield? Plenty of bread. But the one who follows worthless pursuit lacks sense. Do y'all know what a kadult is? K-A-U, K-A-D-U-L-T, kadult. It's a kid adult. And boy, don't we have a lot of them. Kid adults. Those who follow worthless pursuits. What happens whenever you follow worthless pursuits? He who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. How many young men of my age and a bit younger waste their lives away on video games? Waste their entire lives away on video games. I mean, it blows my mind. Men who do not have time to help their wife with one load of laundry, but can spend 3 hours a day playing World of Warcraft. That's a kadult. And for us men, don't follow worthless pursuits. You lack sense if you follow worthless pursuits. Why waste your life doing something like that? What comes of it? But women, don't follow worthless pursuits. How many women waste their lives away on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and Netflix and let their phones be far more time consuming to them than their families? Women, if your phone is taking you away from your family, if those Snapchat filters are taking you away from your family, you lack sense. You're following a worthless pursuit. You lack sense. Put it away. Get a dumb phone if you need to. Delete your Twitter account. Get rid of YouTube. Whatever you need to do, stop following worthless pursuits. Stop it. Be there and do things productive for your family. That's a worthy woman. One who is not a kadult. Young ladies, do not grow up to be a kadult. Don't do it. Be a worthy woman. Kadults waste their lives away, have no time for their families, and utterly have nothing efficient that comes of them. Be a worthy woman. When you go to the book of Ruth, this is the one exception. We're going to leave the book of Proverbs and go to the book of Ruth. Ruth in our Bibles comes right after the book of Judges because it happens during the time of the book of Judges. But in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth actually followed the book of Proverbs. The reason for this was Ruth was the perfect exemplar of what a worthy woman is. And you'll note in Ruth chapter 3 verse 11, "Now my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." The book of Ruth in the Hebrew Bible followed Proverbs 31 because Ruth is an exemplar for us of what a worthy woman is. Whenever Ruth goes back to the land of Israel with Naomi, her mother-in-law, she gleans. Gleaning isn't a word we use a lot, but gleaning means you go behind the pickers and you get whatever is left over. Essentially, you get the whatever is left over of the wheat. Whatever's left over, that's what you get when you glean from the field. Ruth, who perhaps had status in Moab, when she comes back, she gleans. She does whatever is necessary to provide for her mother-in-law, to provide for herself. She's a worthy woman. What does a worthy woman do? Her lamp burns at night, Proverbs 31. She makes the clothing for her family. Her family is well fed, they're well dressed, they're provided for, they are taken care of. Whatever is necessary, whatever means are required, you provide for your family. Now, applying the principles of turning back to Proverbs 31, whenever it tells us she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Does this mean that a godly woman has to be a professional seamstress? Of course not. I think at times in our attempt to apply the text too literally, we miss the actual principle of the text. The principle is you take care of your family. You take care of them. If that means you have to go to Goodwill and get clothing for your family, that's what a worthy woman's going to do. She's going to provide for them. That's what a worthy woman does. She's never idle, and she's never has a spare moment because she's working. That is indeed what a worthy woman does. Again, perhaps one of the most, perhaps one of my favorite verses of the chapter, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Why? Because she's prepared. She has clothed herself with strength and dignity. And above any of the fine purple that she had made, the strength and the dignity that she herself had put on, that is what was her clothing. And because of that, she rejoiced at, or she laughed at the time to come. Because she was ready for the coming days. She was ready for the future because she had made the necessary preparations for it and she was taking care of her family. So women, where are we? A worthy woman, number one, is going to be a woman who takes care of her family. And also, a worthy woman is one who is going to look to God. And this is going to be our most important principle. When we look at the principles of a worthy woman, above all else in the chapter, this is the one that is truly critical. Let's look at verse 29. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Above her skills as a seamstress, above her skills as a marketer, above her skills perhaps even as a wife, what really makes this woman worthy? A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Above all else, she fears God. Now, yes, again, a worthy woman is going to take care of her family, and she is not going to be idle. But number three, she fears the Lord. Above all else, she fears the Lord. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapters 5 and 6, the father gives warning to his son about the adulteress. And the portrayal of the woman, the adulteress, in Proverbs 5 and 6 is very negative. Because it is one who is going to come to the young man and take him away from righteousness. Let's look at this warning. Proverbs 5, beginning in verse 3. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. What happens with this forbidden woman? What's her problem? Ultimately, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, she does not know it. A worthy woman knows where she came from and where she's going. She came from God and she's going back to God. The forbidden woman, she doesn't know why she's here. She's just wandering around in this life, meandering around with whatever she may find, having no clue with what she do, seducing whoever she may, all for the attempt of her own pleasure. That's not what a worthy woman does. A worthy woman is godly, fears the Lord. And above all else in Proverbs 31, what makes a woman worthy? She fears the Lord. A true woman who in the eyes of God is going to take care of her family, and a true woman who is worthy, who is not going to be idle, all of these are derived from her faith in God. Women, above all else, teach your children to fear the Lord. As Jessica and I think how we are going to raise our little daughter, there's many things I look forward to teaching her, and there's many things that Jessica looks forward to teaching her. I'm going to teach her how to cook, and she's going to learn to cook real good. Jessica's going to teach her how to do laundry and how to sew. You don't want me to touch the laundry. But Jessica's going to instill those things to her. Jessica hopes that she has a daughter who she can enjoy Taylor Swift with. I hope I have a daughter that I can enjoy classical music with. There's many things that I look forward to passing on. But I'll tell y'all what. I pray that I don't get so busy passing on the secular aspects of this life that I forget to teach her to fear the Lord my God. If it so happens that the years pass by and she never learns how to play piano, she never learns how to saute a chicken, roast a chicken, that's a lot better than it been. She never learns who Mozart is or Bach is. She never learns how to diagram a sentence, how to foil an algebraic equation, so be it. But so long as she knows how to fear the Lord, women, mothers, raise your children to fear the Lord. Pray with them. Read the scripture with them. How much time do we spend listening to the radio together, but don't spend time reading the Word of God together? How much time do we spend in front of the television together, but don't spend in meditation of the scripture together? Fear the Lord. And when we look at what this fear of the Lord does, it leads her to a particular character. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Why does this woman have this character? Why is she someone who opens her mouth with wisdom and teaches with kindness from her tongue? It is because she first fears the Lord. Again, she's wise and she's gracious. Young ladies, be gracious with your tongue. Be wise in your words. How many women ruin their reputation, ruin the lives of their families, ruin the reputation of their husbands, and ruin their marriages because they never learned to tame the tongue? Women need to be gracious and wise, just as men do. But there is, I will say this, as you go throughout every moral list of the New Testament, there is a particular emphasis on graciousness and sins of the tongue for women. Now, we may perhaps gawk at that a little bit from our 21st century perspective. But women, be wise and be gracious because you fear the Lord. One more verse before we close. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. This is one of the funniest images to me of the book. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. A gracious woman gets honor. That's what you want to happen. A woman who's gracious, she will get honor. How many women in my life could I go through, and I'm not going to make this about me, but have shown their influence upon me because of their graciousness, because of their faith. And I'm sure most of us could look at a Lois and Eunice of our life. The honor comes from that. Verse 22, and this is the humorous one. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. What's this image? A gold ring, my ring's silver, but it's a beautiful thing, right? It's a beautiful thing. But if you were to take this ring and put it on a pig's snout, it's an ugly old joke. How many beautiful women make themselves a joke because they never learn discretion? How many gracious women make themselves fools because they never learn discretion? Tame the tongue. Be gracious. Be loving. Be kind. Be faithful. That's a worthy woman. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? Well, I'll tell you. I will answer the question. What makes a worthy woman? How can you find her? Well, I think the answer is this. Taking our concepts together. Devotion to family motivates her to diligent work, all of which comes from fearing God with wisdom and graciousness. That's a worthy woman. One who takes care of her family, one who works with all of her diligence, and one who fears the Lord and because of that is wise and gracious. That is truly a worthy woman. Get out your songbooks, please. Again, happy Mother's Day to each of you mothers. As we look at this congregation, we have many worthy women. We have many women who give their lives to God and second most to their families. And you're to be commended for that. Going back to my first question, what makes a woman worthy? Again, we could go back and we could say beauty. We could say prestige. We could say status. We could say a career. We could say independence. I really don't think that's the right answer. What makes a woman worthy? She fears the Lord. And because she fears the Lord, she gives her life to her family. And because she gives her life to her family, she works and she works and she's diligent and she raises and she trains and she never stops. On this day, let's take a moment to commend you. Because there's no job of this earth that is more tiring, that requires more tears, that requires more love than the work of a mother. And while some may tell you it is not a noble profession, it is the greatest profession any of you could ever choose. I thank God so much for the worthy women that we have here and those in my life as well. I've, of course, not talked a bit about the gospel plan of salvation tonight. But I do hope you see, it is only when we first put on the character of Christ that a woman then will become worthy. The character of this world teaches women to be something far different. Something that perhaps in a moment will lead them to greatness, but over the course of time will lead to their destruction and ruin. It is only when we put off the things of this earth and we put on the true character of Christ that then we are transformed into kind, loving, faithful, diligent, dedicated creatures in His sight. And that's what really makes a worthy woman. And of course, the first step to getting to be that worthy woman or even man, it has to start with baptism in Christ. Putting off the sins of the flesh and putting on the likeness of Christ, that's what makes a woman worthy. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel plan of salvation, come forward while you stand and sing.